بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على المبعوث رحمة للعالمين سيدنا مولانا محمد عليه وعلى آله أفضل الصلاة وأتم التسليم. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you, your families, your loved ones, keep you safe, keep you protected, keep you resilient in the best of ways, ya Rab, ameen, ameen, ameen. Welcome back to another episode of Saviors of Islam. Tonight we look at Aisha bint Abi Bakr radiallahu anha, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam's wife, and the daughter of Abu Bakr, his best and closest companion, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She's the fourth most narrator of hadith. She narrated 2,210 to 2,250 a hadith directly from the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam. She had more than 100 students who learned directly from her, including Urwa ibn Zubayr. She had some of the greatest companions narrate directly from her. Umar ibn al-Khattab narrated from her. Abdullah ibn Umar narrated from her. Abi Huraira narrated from her. Sa'id ibn al-Musayyib narrated from her. And the teachers of al-Hasan al-Basri learned directly from her. She left a beautiful legacy behind. And the beautiful legacy can be summarized in one moment, one episode that is really incredible. Abdullah ibn Zubayr, who was the son of Asma bint Abi Bakr. So his aunt is Aisha radiallahu anha. He's the nephew of Aisha. He comes into the house and he used to come in and out. You know, she was his mahram, like a mahram. So she would be comfortable, teach him directly. And he would be spending a lot of time in and out of the house. So he would see her giving lessons and he's just amazed with her person. So he asks her, Ya Umma, and he used to call her my mother out of respect because she's in the same age and the same level of respect as his own mother. So Ya Umma, and she's the mother of the believers. Ya Umma, I get why you're so good at poetry, because your father is Abu Bakr and he was good at that. I get why you're so good at lineage, knowing people's lineage and profiling and knowing which family is what and which tribe is what, because Abu Bakr was good at that and he passed that knowledge on to you. I get why you're so good at Quran and Hadith, because Rasulullah was your husband. You're privileged in the area. I get all of that. But can you explain to me, how did you come to know so much about medicine? How did you come to know so much about the various ingredients and the various healing herbs and the things? You're always going around and giving ingredients, classifying, categorizing, treating illnesses. Where did you pick up that from? So she turns to me, she says, my son, look at that respect. When the Prophet Muhammad was ill at the end of his life, Arab tribes used to send their women to suggest, try this and try that and try this and try that. So I was interested in medicine and I was trying to put all these things together to heal the Prophet Muhammad. Of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's will always transcends anything else. When the Prophet Muhammad passed away, I picked it up as a hobby, as something that I enjoyed, and I carried it on and I pursued it. So one thing that we don't usually mention about Aisha is she was involved not just as a teacher, not just as a muhaditha, not just as somebody who carried the sunnah and transmitted the sunnah, the tradition and the legacy of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, but she was also a healer, a doctor in her own sense. Why? Because she would go to the community, to the women in the community, and she would, for example, in one hadith, she would see the women who are going through anxiety or stress or experiencing bereavement after the death of somebody from their family. And she would say, I recommend that you try to eat talbina. Look it up. What is talbina? Look at the hadith. T-A-L-B-I-N-A-H. So I recommend that you eat talbina. Because the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught that there is a healing property and it helps somebody cope with anxiety or cope with sadness and sorrow. Can you imagine? And she would add on some of her own things that she also picked up from the tribes and from what was available at her time. So she was combining the sunnah, prophetic medicine, with the medicine that was available to her to suggest these various healing entities to the people that were available to her, to the people that needed it. And that goes to show you, subhanAllah, the incredible personality and the curiosity of Aisha radiallahu anha. Aisha radiallahu anha and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam once heard her put someone else in their place. You know, someone was kind of, you know, crossing their bounds a little bit. And Aisha radiallahu anha looks at the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, should I respond or will you? So he kind of smiles, okay, you take it on. So she gives this verbal, incredible verbal conversation. And Nabi Sallam just smiles at them. He's like, Bint Abi Bakr. She's the daughter of Abu Bakr. What do you expect? You know, some ulama, like Muawiyah himself, he says, Afsahul Arab, the most eloquent of the Arabs, not just the women, the most eloquent of the Arabs is Aisha. Let that sink in. Some of the women themselves would say, we would listen to the khutbas of Abu Bakr and the khutbas of Umar and the khutbas of Uthman and the khutbas of many khalifas, but we have never heard anyone more engaging, more captivating, more eloquent than Aisha radiallahu anha. Let this sink in. Some of the companions themselves, there is an opinion attributed or a saying attributed to Umar ibn Khattab in which he says, before Islam, we used to disregard, we didn't really care much about the feelings and the emotions of women, and we didn't really think of women to be able to contribute and to have value to the society. And that was the pre-Islamic, you know, impression, the pre-Islamic perception towards women. It was disgusting. You know, the burial of women or burial of female daughters that is mentioned in the Quran. Although it wasn't as prevalent, it was still socially accepted. It was still a norm. That was before Islam. Now, Umar al-Khattab, according to the saying attributed to him, he says, but when the ayat of inheritance, the verses of inheritance were revealed in the Quran, it caused a paradigm shift that women can inherit, that women are not to be inherited as property, which was the case before Islam, but they can inherit. So that those ayat in the Quran, the way that the Quran frames women and their rights, really changed the perception of the Sahabas. And finally, it was Aisha as a figure that changed the perception that we had towards women. Aisha radiallahu anha had her own school of fiqh. She would dispute some of the opinions of the scholars around the companions. For example, when she heard the hadith of how the Prophet Muhammad Sallam is supposed to have said that, you know, women, when a woman walks, it interrupts your salah. And the hadith, according to the hadith, you know, the woman is put on the same category as a dog walking by, or, you know, so Aisha, when I heard this, is I completely disagree. How dare you? And she says, I used to be in the Prophet Muhammad Sallam's room, and he would pray while I'm right next to him. And sometimes when he would come down in sujood, he would make, you know, he would as soon as he would come down, I would have to move out of the way because of the limited space. So you misunderstood the hadith. Let me explain to you what is meant when he said this outside to the public. Well, let me tell you also other things, like, you know, when it comes to a hadith about inheritance, a hadith about the end of times, many things that the companions had in terms of an opinion, Aisha radiallahu anha would be there to correct that opinion because she had direct access to the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And there are books that are published on that subject, opinions of the companions that were corrected by Aisha radiallahu anha. She was known for her determination and her confidence. She was very confident from the very beginning. So she would ask very curious questions. She would say, Ya Rasulullah, what is meant by this ayah? What is really meant by this? What is meant by that? How does this ayah make sense in terms of this? So she would ask those questions. And for example, one question is, Ya Rasulullah, the hadith about how on the day of judgment, people are going to come to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala unclothed. How is that going to be? So imagine, she's imagining the ayat, she's imagining the hadith. And he says, Ya Aisha, everybody's going to be on that day minding their own business. This makes sense. So she was curious. She would ask those questions. There's one incident, very interesting in it. When we look at the Prophet Muhammad's relationship with Aisha, it's incredible. So many lessons that we can learn from there. You know, for example, and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi would take the cup after Aisha drank and he would rotate it. And she would say, what are you doing, Ya Rasulullah? I'm looking for the place where your lips touch so I can drink from the same spot to show that respect. She once asked him, Ya Rasulullah, do you love me? Of course I love you, Aisha. Tell me, how much do you love me? Beautiful conversation between husband and wife. He says, yeah, Aisha, I love you. My love for you, if you want to look for a symbol of my love for you, imagine a rope that is tied onto itself, like a loop. So, you know, when people say a ring is round, it turns forever, and that's how long we'll be together, that kind of stuff, right? So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is saying, my love for you is infinite. It's looping. I love you so much that, it's like a knot together, held together, strong knot. So she would once in a while say, Ya Rasulullah, how is the knot doing? So the Nabi made her secure in that relationship where she could ask any question, where she felt comfortable to ask any question. And she contributed to the confidence of the Tabi'een and the Sahaba women that were around and that would come, her students as well that would come after that. She was also amazing at reading people and reading situations. And she knew the Prophet Muhammad so well. On his deathbed, she looked at the Prophet Muhammad once and she understood what he's trying to say without him saying anything. So she quickly grabbed the miswak. All the other women were like, how did you know? It's like, I know my husband. So she gives him the miswak and he smiles, he appreciates it. Of course, he's sick, he can't say much. And he tries to use the miswak, but he doesn't have the strength. So she uses her own hand. And he said, how did you know? I know my husband. Subhanallah. You know, there's one incident in the Prophet Muhammad Sallam's that's actually in our books of narrations where Aisha radiallahu anha, it's a long story, but she's saying the story of 11 women talking about all the qualities in men and things that happen, things like that. So Aisha radiallahu anha is narrating this to the Prophet Muhammad Sallam to get his input. So I want you to imagine Aisha radiallahu anha is talking for half an hour, maybe even 2 hours continuously about this long story. And the Prophet Muhammad is listening to her, uninterrupting, listening completely. And then finally he comments on how she should, you know, she should proceed. And there are many times where he just listened to her for a long time, just venting, talking, making himself available, giving her that security. One incident that really, really highlights her strength, her tenacity, her confidence is what happened in the ifk. When people la hawla la quwwata illa billah, attributed terrible things, accused her of terrible things, whether they verbalized or they didn't, assumed it or not, you know, people accused her of infidelity. Hadithat al-ifk mentioned in Surah An-Nur. Now, of course, the rumors got so toxic that it affected the relationship with the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And when he walked into the house, the mother of Aisha and Abu Bakr told her, say something to him. Said, what do you want me to say? I have nothing to say. Whatever I say at this moment, it's going to mean nothing to anybody. All that I can say is what Abu Yusuf, the father of Yusuf, said to his children. Right? Wallahu al-musta'an, fasabrun jameel, wallahu al-musta'an ala ma tasifun. All that I can say is may Allah give me beautiful patience and Allah's help is what I seek regarding the things that you attribute to me and the things that you say and the things that you describe. So look at that confidence, strength. Finally, when the ayat of the Quran were revealed proving her innocence, what does she say? She says, I never thought of myself worthy enough to have ayat in the Quran revealed about me. Abu Bakr's wife says, she should thank your husband. I don't thank anybody on this day except Allah. Imagine Rasulullah is there. And I'm not going to thank you. I'm thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he is the one who set the record straight. And there's no justice beyond the justice of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So look, despite the love that she had with Rasulullah, and there was a lot of love, the beautiful story of love, the most beautiful story of love that we have in our tradition, the story of Nabi Sallam with Khadija and the story of Nabi Sallam with Aisha radiallahu anha, to the point where when the muhaddithin would narrate from Aisha, they would say, I heard from Habibat Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the beloved of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was what she was known as. And that's how she would transmit these ahadith and her teachings to the community. As we mentioned, she founded a school of fiqh. She disputed the Sahaba's opinions when she had evidence. And despite the fact that she was number 4 in terms of the quantity of ahadith, there are many ahadith where she was the only one narrating because she was paying attention to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And she was the only one to notice. And in many times she corrected the perceptions of the companions towards women and more importantly, even towards some main principles within and peripheral issues within the Sharia. So when it comes to the codification of the Sharia and when it comes to the foundations and the text and how to deal with it, Aisha radiallahu anha plays a central role in all of that. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless us all, Ya Rab, Ameen. May Allah keep you steadfast, keep us sincere. Here is a small glimpse from the life of Aisha to encourage us to learn more, to connect more, and of course, to to challenge the way that we look at our sisters and to give them opportunities and to invest and to allow for that potential, that teaching potential, that inspiring potential, that confidence in our sisters and our daughters, in our mothers to grow. Jazakumullah khairan. Wassalamu alaikum warahmatullahi wabarakatuh.